Welcome to Today's Voices, a daily digest from Native America Column. I'm your host, Sean Spruce. The chairman of the Shoshone Paiute Tribes of the Duck Valley Reservation calls an agreement between his tribe and a Canadian mining company historic. Brian Mason applauds what he says is an equitable profit-sharing deal, tribal oversight on operations, and provisions to improve the tribe both financially and culturally. Mason says this agreement is the culmination of his growing frustration that Nevada tribes are left out of any of the riches from the state's mineral development, but suffer the environmental consequences of polluted air and groundwater.
For the Treaty of Ruby Valley that was signed in 1863, you know, minerals and rights to the land were never given up. What was given up was passage, and it was a treaty of friendship. So there was all these resources being extracted, and none of the monies was going to any of the tribes. So all this resource on a daily basis being extracted, and the tribes from Nevada being the poorest individuals of any economic social background in the state of Nevada, just didn't sit well with me. So it had to have a financial piece. And, you know, exploring what was going on up in Canada, because part of my job down in the States was dealing with Indigenous groups. And so I would go and meet with the First Nations tribes and the industry, how they were treating First Nations. And I couldn't understand why it couldn't happen down here.
Chairman Mason says the mining agreement could be a model for tribes like his and the other 28 federally recognized tribes in the state that have few economic development options. Kate Finn is Osage and the founder and director of the consulting company Tall Grass Institute that facilitates tribal partnerships. She says this agreement is a new standard for how industries can fully recognize tribal sovereignty.
There is a history in Indian country of mining, and there's a history of agreements. And unfortunately, a lot of that history is that tribes and Native peoples have not been able to exercise their sovereignty and their self-determination in those agreements. And so anytime there's any negotiation with a private company or a mining company, that company has to understand the context and the inertia that they are working with. The second part that we really set out to do was to set up the context of tribal benefit agreements and community benefit agreements within the context of the UN Declaration. In the Declaration, both Article 20 and 23 talk about Indigenous peoples' right to pursue their own economic priorities and to have those priorities respected. And community benefit agreements, tribal benefit agreements, can be a tool to do just that.
Finn says while the Shoshone Paiute Agreement is promising, there is no one-size-fits-all approach for tribes. Miranda Compton is the founder and president of the consulting company Lepwe and worked on a report with Kate Finn about tribal benefit agreements. She is from the Delaware Tribe of Indians. Compton says of all the stakeholders looking to profit, tribes rarely have a voice, even if they have legal and cultural ties to the land.
Our interests and rights also include treaty boundaries. So if you think about those resources being within 35 miles of modern day reservations, I can guarantee you, and we don't have the stats on it, but I can guarantee you that a vast majority of those are within actual treaty areas where tribes continue to have rights regarding lands and waters and animals and plants. So for tribal nations and for companies, mining companies, but really any companies, we need to take a better look at these maps and make sure that we are identifying the whole universe, the whole scope of tribal rights, which includes tribal lands, where tribes always have consent about whether or not a project will go forward, but also what are the rights associated with those treaty areas? What are the rights associated with our ancestral areas, which are even larger? And for tribal nations, when there are projects within those areas, still working with the companies is a great way to make sure you have impacts on that development.
Compton says this new direction in partnering with tribes is a more equitable and sustainable process than even the formal federal consultation method that tribes have criticized for decades. Such agreements are relatively new in the U.S., but are becoming more common in Canada because it is a provision of that country's Truth and Reconciliation Agreement. I'm Sean Spruce, and this is Today's Voices